Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, your Bible teacher, saying praise the Lord. How are you today? We're going to be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 3, with 26 verses, and translation and commentary. We also have part 5 of reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. Then we have two or three letters here, some from the United States, some from Africa and India. And right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord. And you out there in Radio Land, let's do it also. And ask the Lord to anoint this service. Holy Father God, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life. And those of the ones that are listening that are not saved, we thank you, Lord God, and they should be thanking you very much also for the opportunity to hear the gospel, the very good news that they can escape hell and spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Because this is what the gospel is all about. It's that there's power that you give people, just human beings, within them to be able to keep your commandments, to be able to abstain from sin, and to be able to have the Holy Spirit giving them the power to conquer their selves, their lusts, their desire for worldly things, worldly pleasures, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We thank you, Lord, for giving everyone an opportunity to be able to receive this power through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We ask that you anoint, we have the inward anointing, your Spirit within us, and we ask that you pour out your outward power, your Holy Spirit upon us, to give us the power to minister the truth of the Word of God, the Gospel, the good news, to the hearers. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, give them life. Let them understand. Open their ears. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. And so where's the first letter from, Sister Michelle?
From White Bear Lake, Minnesota.
All right.
Dear Pastor Tony, that was a great message track. Beware of the blessings from the Vatican. I would like a lot of them to distribute to Catholic friends. Please send quite a few and bill me. I am in the Lord's work distributing tracts. Thank you, R.A.C. from White Bear Lake, Minnesota.
Now, you notice this man said Catholic friends. We are very friendly to Catholics, and we're very merciful to them also because we do as the Lord says. He told us to take the gospel, the good news, to every kindred, every tongue, every nation, and tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's no longer a religion. It's the actual kingdom of heaven that dwells within us. And show us the kingdom of heaven, the disciples said. Well, the kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation because the kingdom of heaven is invisible. It's within us. When we receive this with the Father by the Spirit, the entire kingdom of God, which is God, Christ and the Holy Spirit, is in us. And we then become the kingdom, a messenger or a member of the kingdom of heaven, and our work on earth here is to tell the good news to others, and our Catholic friends and Buddhist friends. We are not really associating with them because they're into something that the Lord forbids us to be in, but we're telling them as good Samaritans about how to get out of false religions and come into the truth, into Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so this is really good to hear this man saying he's got a good heart because he doesn't consider other religions enemies, but he wants to get them to receive Christ, the kingdom of heaven, into their hearts so that they can be saved, because this is not a religion, this is salvation. Religion and salvation are two different things. Religion is like a false, it's like a mannequin. It looks like a human being, but it's really not. Salvation is the real thing, the real power of God, the real Father God, the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, entering into your mortal body, giving you the power over death, hell, the grave, and sin, Satan, and the world. Praise the Lord. And so this man wants to get the truth to the Catholics. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what I want to do also. And that all of you people out there, if you did that, well, the kingdom of heaven is really going to be expanded here on earth, and we're going to see the Lord coming to earth soon. Get in now, because the great plagues are about to happen. We see great plagues happening now, but those are Sunday school picnics in comparison to what is coming. And you'll see it's going to get worse and worse, as the Bible says. These, what you see today, are just the beginning of sorrows. There's more to come. Okay, where's the next letter from, Sister Michelle?
From Vandalia, Missouri.
And is that the ladies' prison there?
Yes.
All right.
Dear Mr. Alamo, hello. God bless you and yours. I am currently incarcerated in Vandalia, Missouri. I receive your newsletter on a regular basis, and I find it inspirational and uplifting. Before coming to prison, I didn't know the Lord. All my life, I was searching for something to fill the empty place in my heart, and I looked in all the wrong places. When I walked through these prison doors, I made a decision to make changes in my life, and shortly after, a woman I did not know gave me a copy of your newsletter. It touched my heart, and I started to read the Bible, which I had never done before. That was the beginning of my relationship with God. I am no longer the troubled and lonely person I was before. With Him by my side, I am not alone anymore, and that empty place has been filled. I now have faith and trust, and my outlook on the future is positive. I have been incarcerated for 3.5 years and will be released July 21st, 2005. I realize I face a lot of challenges, but I am anxious to start my new life as a Christian and look forward to joining a church. I would like to thank you for your newsletters and support, and thank you for introducing me to our Lord and Savior and my newfound freedom. Thank you again, and God bless you all. Love, T.C. from Vandalia, Missouri.
Oh, praise the Lord. That's really wonderful. And then the next letter, where is it from?
From Nigeria, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I received the 2 cartons containing Bibles and literatures you sent to me for distribution. The materials have not only contributed to my reaching people with the gospel, they have helped me to win more souls for Christ. When I got the consignment of Bibles and literatures, I went to the court premises with the usual zeal you had put in me to reach out to people for Christ. For 7 days, preaching the good news to suspected criminals and also giving the materials to them. Many suspected criminals, on hearing the good news and getting a copy each of the Bibles, were led to Christ.
See, the world is full of criminals, and, you know, if we get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them before they get to us, that's what you got to do. It's like there's little children being kidnapped by the thousands, and all kinds of horrible things happening to them. They're being murdered. But if we get the gospel to them before they get to us, our families or our friends, then this will be a much better place. Now, either we're going to get to them, or they're for sure going to get to us, because people are getting more and more evil as time goes on. You see more and more people becoming evil. Even children now, they know if they kill somebody that this Antichrist government is not going to send them to death. But the Bible doesn't make any distinction between a young person if they murder somebody or an old person. So the wisdom of God puts a screeching halt to all the murderers. If they're 10 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old, they are to be stoned to death, or nowadays to be put to death if they murder anybody. Why do I believe in the death sentence? Because the Bible, because God commands it. And, you know, you've got a bunch of eggheads that call themselves politicians, they're politicians, that think that changing the word of God is smart. But that isn't smart at all. You can see that crime is on the upswing. The only places where crime is decreasing is where there's severe punishment for murder. and for abortion. In Israel, you don't dare abort a child because there's severe penalties if you ever murdered a little baby, an unborn baby, because they believe in God. At least they believe that that's wrong from the Bible. Many of them don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they're not saved. But they do believe in life. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's get to the criminals. That's who the Lord died for. They're letting people go that are the criminals in this Antichrist regime that we see today. But if we get to them first, they will not be criminals. They'll be part of the kingdom of heaven. All right, then what?
It is interesting and to the glory of God to hear that some of those that were led to Christ were discharged and acquitted. Pastor Lamo, your write-up in volume 05600 of the World Newsletter, titled Another Pearl Harbor, is a clear testimony that you talk the gospel fearlessly and that you really are representing Christ the way that heaven wants it to be. World Pastor, continue with your good work for Christ. Forget about the world judgment. Continue to key to the word and tell people what is the truth, whether they like to hear it or not.
Well, I intend to do that. I've been doing it now for 40 years, almost 41 years, and I'm going to continue doing it. And you see, this is a... Is this from Bandelia?
No, this is from Nigeria.
Nigeria. Okay, well, you see the lady that was a criminal in Bandelia prison. She accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
And she's not going to be a criminal anymore when she gets out. And then you saw the three robbers the other day. In a testimony, they were robbing somebody, and they got a piece of literature, and they read it, and now they're not robbers anymore. And there's people, many of them, we've got all kinds of testimonies of people that were murdering people, and they got saved, and they repented, and they feel horrible about what they did, and they are now Christians, and they're winning souls, doing something to show God that they are sorry for their sins, and that they're happy that they're saved, and that they love the Lord, and they love others, and prefer others before themselves. Amen?
Amen.
This is the gospel is what makes it a better world, not Mohammedism, because Mohammedism says, kill the white person, kill this person. We don't want to kill Muslims. I've won many of them to the Lord, and you see the testimonies coming in one after the other where they're getting saved. And that hatred leaves them when the Spirit of the Lord enters into their human bodies. So that's what we want, is to stop all this hatred. Hatred for Christianity. And they'll say, well, you hate Catholics. No, I said I don't hate Catholics. If I hate them, I would bring the gospel to them. Amen?
Amen.
They say, I hate Buddhists. I don't hate Buddhists. If I did, why would I be preaching to them and telling them about the good news and about being saved? But anyone that says, I hate all these different people, they're the ones that hate us. They hate Christ. They hate God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, how can you call us, how can you hate us, or how can you say that we're doing evil just because we tell you the truth? Like Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He said that to a bunch back then. Okay, then what?
I am yet to see ministries that are distributing Bibles free, as you are doing in your ministries. May God continue to support your ministries. I would like to request that you accept me as one of your representatives in Benin City, Nigeria. Presently, I am distributing your free Bibles and literatures to people freely and would want to continue as such. My great pastor, with a sincere mind, I would like you to send me the following. Bibles for distribution to newly converted people and during crusades, 100 copies of The Messiah, 400 copies of Dry Bones. World Pastor, please count me among those who are with you in truth, spirit, and the vineyard work. You are wonderfully blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Sincerely yours, T.D. from Benin City, Edo State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Sister Michelle, and Sister Sharon, will you come forward now? And let's get into the book of Acts, chapter 3.
The Lord uses Peter to heal a crippled beggar. King James.
Now, this is another thing, you know, where you see all these homeless people on the streets, and you just, shrug your shoulders and say, why don't they get jobs or something like that? This man was a beggar. Peter didn't have that bad attitude like you do. Or maybe you don't have that bad attitude, but many others have today. He had mercy on him, and that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to have mercy on the poor people. He tells us to remember the poor and to help them, but help them with the gospel as well. Okay, then what?
Verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Verse 3. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. Verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6.
To money. Then what?
Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Now can you imagine them paying attention to a beggar on the street? Somebody that's dirty and maybe got lice on and fleas and things like that? But this is the gospel. Peter wasn't worried about that, but the Holy Spirit was leading him to deal with that beggar, the homeless person. All right, then what?
Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
All right, and so what's more important, to let the person, these homeless people, lay there without any joy in their heart? You see a lot of people that are about ready to die, and they got crippled or something. It's like this movie, The Million Dollar Baby. I saw the scene in there where they said, "Well, she had a good life. She got a shot at it." There's a lot of scrub women and guys that are just working at hamburger joints, and they never get the shot. But she had a shot. She got up there, and people were cheering her name, and people were paying attention to her and everything. And so go ahead and put her to death, because she accidentally, one of the boxers that she was fighting hit her in the face when she wasn't looking. She turned her back on her, and she fell down and hit her head on a stool, and it broke her neck and paralyzed her. And she got bed sores from laying in the hospital bed for so long. And they had to amputate one of her legs. And she just told her manager that she couldn't live this way. And so she says, you know, like my daddy put my dog and buried him, will you do that for me? He says, don't ask me to do that. But anyway, this black man in the picture talked him into letting her be, to going in and killing her. Pulling her breathing tube off and then inserting a needle into her with a lethal serum of some sort. And she died. She said, I just can't live this way. Well, what is better? To commit suicide like that and be spent eternity in hell? I'm sure she don't want to live that way. And the man that murdered her, because he thought he was doing a good duty, because that's the brain, the German, the Nazi, the Vaticanite brainwash that we see in the world today, that it's really nice to do that to people. Well, people are going to come in and maybe put the needle in you. What would have been a lot better would be to be like Peter, to go in and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Be healed and walk, and have her get up out of that bed and put a fake leg on there and have her become a minister of the gospel and be preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And look at me, I was like ready for a death. I was on my deathbed, and these people came in, apostles of the Lord, and they laid hands on me, and I got healed, and I got the Spirit of God in me, and he gave me a purpose in life to not want to die and go to hell, but he gave me a purpose in my heart to get up and do the same thing. And I mean, I have to suffer certain things. Sure, I don't have a leg, and sure, I can't box anymore, but at least I can fight Satan, and I can really fight him good. I can really put Satan under my feet and under my wooden leg or whatever, if I have two wooden legs or if I have anything wrong with me. You sick people, don't be wishing to die, because if you think it's bad here on this side of eternity, well then just think how evil it would be the minute your spirit leaves your body and you go into hell in the lake of fire. Just think about that. Why don't you stop being so selfish? Of course, every one of us would like to be with the Lord. But you won't be with the Lord if you commit suicide or have somebody kill you. This is Nazi doctrine. It's worldly doctrine. It's doctrine of the devil. It's satanic doctrine. It's the Antichrist system that is causing people, everyone in the world, to be deceived except those of us that have the Word of God. Now, the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Now, if you believe God, you agree with him then that he has healed you. Now, get up out of your bed and walk. Get up and walk, because it's already a done deal. God has already healed you. By his stripes, the Lord Jesus Christ's stripes that he was beaten with before they nailed him to the cross, you were healed. It's past tense. It's something that has already been done. So get up and walk and be a viable member of the body of Christ. You are needed. We're the minority. Now get up and walk and quit causing people to feel sorry for you to the point to where they're going to kill you and send your soul to hell and theirs as well. And all you people that are doing that, you may think that it's the merciful thing to do to kill somebody or to kill yourself. You're wrong. You're very wrong. Listen to God. God says that thou shalt not murder, and no murderer shall enter the kingdom of heaven. There's only one other place to go, and that's the pit of hell. So listen to the gospel. Listen to the good news. You have the good news to tell you to not do that, to stay away from that. And you can, it doesn't make any difference what kind of condition you're in. If you can, if you desire, you could be a tremendous testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You bite the bullet, and in your patience possess ye your soul. Possess your soul. Be patient if you're in your sickness, your illness, your disease. You're in the position that you are because you are living a careless life in the first place. You didn't care anything about God, and so he put you in a position where you could consider these things. You could meditate about them. You could start reading the Bible or have somebody read the Bible to you, or you could order my Bible tapes. Or you could have somebody read my literature to you, or the Bible to you. And then you could be saved, and you can become somebody in the Lord. What a tremendous testimony would be for somebody like that to just get up and go. Ask for prayer. Don't ask for somebody to kill you. Believe God that he's already healed you. By my stripes you were healed, he said. So agree with God that you're healed and get up. All right, now, let's go to the translation now.
The Lord uses Peter to heal a crippled beggar.
Now, this man has been crippled for years, and he got up and walked because the Holy Spirit sent strength down into his legs, into his ankles, and he got up, and not only did he walk, but he was leaping. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so God could have done the same thing for her. For that matter, God can do all things. He could have even grown another leg on the million-dollar baby. What a loser she was. Just because a bunch of people are hollering your name, that's supposed to be that you really got the shot. You got a shot. Just because people don't call your name, that doesn't mean that you didn't get a shot. Everybody's got a shot to be in the body of Christ. That's the only shot that means anything in this entire universe. It's not that people shout your name. I've had my name shouted. It didn't mean anything to me because I didn't have any respect for people, because I saw people that said they were Christians that were drinking before I got saved, drinking out of the same bottle I did and doing the same sinful things that I did. Now that I'm saved, I want everybody to know that I'm a Christian and that I don't pay attention to the people of the world and that I have no respect for them whatsoever. I only have respect for people that listen to God. If you don't listen to God, I don't have any respect for you whatsoever. because you're not listening to the one that created you and created everything in the whole universe. Who are you to respect if you don't listen to him? Okay, then what? Go ahead. Translation.
He was just a beggar on the street. You see downtown L.A. and all over the place. New York City, Chicago, Hollywood, Santa Monica.
Everywhere.
There are beggars sitting there on the street.
Yeah, Europe. When I was in Europe, I saw them there. In Greece, in Venice, they're laying there but they're on the post office steps in sleeping bags. Men, women, all kinds of people that are poverty-stricken. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Verse 2. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was...
So he was lame from birth. Now, this woman just became lame. She had her leg cut off because she was laying in bed for so long. She didn't pray and ask God to get her up out of the bed. And so she got bed sores, and all of a sudden they got infected, and gangrene set in, so she had one of her legs cut off. But instead of just stewing in your juices and murmuring and complaining, why didn't she just get somebody to have a person that knows God to come in and pray for me? Pick up the phone and call Tony Alamo, because there isn't anyone that was sincere with the Lord that really wanted to serve him that I've ever prayed for that wasn't healed. Now, if I'm praying for you and you're not sincere with the Lord and you're not going to use your life to let him rule your life, well then, of course, nothing's going to happen because you don't want to serve God. But if you really want to serve God and you're sick, pick up the phone, call me, and I'll pray for you, and I'll guarantee you're going to get up. All right, then what?
Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. Verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Verse 4. Peter and John looked at him intently and said, and Peter said, quote, "Look at us!" exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 5. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift.
A lame beggar. Let's don't forget who he was. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he was before, but he believed God, and he got up and started leaping and praising God and going to church. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're going to go to church and you're going to praise God, God will do the same thing for you, friend. Okay, then what?
Verse 6. But Peter said, quote, "I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk," unquote. Verse 7. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. Verse 8. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk! Exclamation mark. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Verse 9. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God.
See what a testimony that is. Amen?
Amen.
Before they saw him sitting there pathetically begging for money and everything. Yeah, he didn't want to. Some people say, "I don't want to get healed because then I won't get my welfare check." You know, that's really lazy. That's really incredibly ungrateful towards the Lord. And did you know that you're not going to spend eternity in heaven for being such a evil, wicked, lazy, slothful, unconcerned person about what people think about your condition? Now, you have to get up and walk. Okay, then what else?
Do I go back?
No, just keep going on the translation.
Verse 10. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded! Exclamation mark. Verse 11. They all rushed out to Solomon's colonnade, where he was holding tightly to Peter and John. Everyone stood there in awe of the wonderful thing that had happened. Peter preaching in the temple. Verse 12. Peter saw this to be an opportunity and addressed the crowd this way.
Now, this was an opportunity for souls, for him to preach and win souls. Because see what God did here? See this $1 million baby? She got up and she's walking, but she's got a stub there. Okay, let's fit her up with a wooden leg like so many other people have done. Amen?
Amen.
And let's get her some swimming lessons or something, and let her build up her strength and give her some vitamins and minerals, and let's pray and let's teach her the Word of God, and let's keep make her a very important person in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, in the New Jerusalem, in the Bride of Christ, because when she gets to heaven, she will be 100% whole. There's no imperfection in heaven. And who would want a woman to be a boxer anyway? She shouldn't have never done that in the first place. Okay, then what?
Quote, people of Israel.
How that ever won the best movie is more than I would ever know. I believe that that was a very fixed contest. All it is Nazi Vaticanism, Catholicism, doing everything it can to bring about a very anti-Christ way of thinking. Anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian. Okay, then what?
Quote, people of Israel, he said, what is so astounding about this? And why look at us as though we have made this man walk by our own power and godliness? Verse 13, for it is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. Verse 14, you rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. Verse 15, you killed the author of life, but God raised him to life. And we are witnesses of this fact! Exclamation mark. Verse 16, the name of Jesus has healed this man, and you know how lame he was before.
In the name of Jesus, remember, is the Word of God. The Word of God is spirit and it's life. And so the Word of God, the name of Jesus, the Word which is spirit and life, healed him. Okay, then what?
Faith in Jesus' name has caused this healing before your very eyes.
And doesn't the Bible say that the name of Jesus is the Word of God?
Amen.
The whole Word of God. So believe on the whole Word of God and thou shalt be saved. Then what?
Verse 17. Quote, friends, I realize that what you did to Jesus was done in ignorance, and the same can be said of your leaders. Verse 18. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had declared about the Messiah beforehand, that he must suffer all these things. Verse 19. Now turn from your sins and turn to God, so that you can be cleansed of your sins.
Right, and so that you can be healed as well. All you people out there that are sick or invalids or whatever, you could be a very strong member of the body of Christ, the Bride of Christ, the Church, the New Jerusalem. So, you know, turn away from your sins and God will do the same thing for you as he's done for everyone else. No respecter of persons. He's not going to reject. I don't care how many times you've been rejected in life. All that was the devil trying to get you to think that you're so important that even God wouldn't pay any attention to you. But God loves you, and he wants you to be a good testimony for him. He wants you to get saved and to have all of his blessings so that he can use you as one of his vessels. All right? Then what?
Verse 20. Then wonderful times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord.
Yes, you'll be refreshed. Wonderful refreshment. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And he will send Jesus, your Messiah, to you again. Verse 21. For he must remain in heaven until the time of the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his prophets.
But not only does he stay in heaven, but he also enters in because he's omnipotent. He's everywhere. And he can enter, he will enter into your mortal body just as he is all the rest of us, those of us that are born of the Spirit, Christians, and you'll feel the presence of God and you'll feel this power that will empower you to be able to do the will of God. Then what?
Verse 22. Moses said, quote, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you, unquote. Verse 23. Then Moses said, quote, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be cut off from God's people and utterly destroyed.
See, now, utterly destroyed means if you don't do what the Lord says, if you don't come to him and let him heal you and heal your mind, and you're sick, Some of you people are so sick mentally because you don't know which direction to go, but there's only one direction, and it's clearly outlined in the Bible. And if you don't, you will be utterly destroyed and be destroyed moment by moment, every throughout eternity. It never ends. And you'll be so sorry if you don't do what the Lord says. Then what? If you don't pay attention to him, read that line again.
Then Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will
be... That prophet is Christ, okay? And he says, don't commit suicide. And don't lay there sick. Because I said, and it's impossible for me to lie because I am the truth, don't lie there sick. Now get up. Be healed and get up. Because these words, if you agree with the Lord that he's the truth, you'll receive them. And within those words is spirit and life and healing. And you will be healed and you're going to get up and you're going to get going. Then what else?
Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be cut off from God's people and utterly destroyed.
So you may want people to feel sorry for you, but... and they might, but God will not feel sorry for you. He says you'll be utterly destroyed. So why should he feel sorry for you when you are thumbing your nose at his word, his son? Okay? He doesn't feel sorry for people like that. He only loves you and feels sorry for you if you accept everything that he says and that you want to be a good testimony, a strong testimony for the Lord. Then what?
Verse 24, starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. Verse 25, you are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, quote, through your descendants all the families on earth will be blessed.
That means even the Gentiles. At one time it was just the Jews, now the Gentiles. Then what?
Verse 26, when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. Unquote.
All right, that was the 26th verse translation of the book of Acts, chapter 3. And now we have the commentary.
3 verse 1 through 11. This crippled man, and he was a beggar, was truly helpless. When people are totally helpless, they are prime candidates for God's powerful help. They can give glory to God because everyone knows they are helpless. So notice the steps in this healing. Peter established personal contact by asking the man to look at him. Then Peter told him to get up and walk in Jesus' name. Peter helped the man up, and suddenly he was walking, leaping, and praising God! Healing comes as God touches our lives through the ministry of God's people, as we minister to the helpless. As we experience healing and share our testimony, we definitely bless others by leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times people will like to help people that they feel will be a big help in the church, but the Lord wants churches to know that it's him that does a big work. Many ministers say, quote, if we could only lead more truck drivers to the Lord, we could get more trucks going, or, quote, if we could win more musicians, we could have a bigger orchestra.
Or if we could win more millionaires, we could have more finances to reach out. Just trust the Lord. He'll open the doors in the most miraculous ways. And by doing miracles and causing people to raise from the dead, that'll cause hundreds of thousands, millions of people to get saved without any money whatsoever. Okay, then what?
Or if we could win more laborers to watch the church, or do this or that, or people that are more mechanically inclined, or plumbers or carpenters, we could build more, unquote. But the Lord leads us to whom he will.
Right, and it's good to have all these kind of people, and we need to pray for laborers because the harvest time is at hand. But don't do it, for prosperity or anything. Just to make the church, just to make the gospel more prevalent in the world and to win more souls, that's the main goal. That's what the Lord wants, and is to be bringing about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. All right, then what?
The miracle is that the work of the Lord is getting done with a bunch of helpless, formerly crippled people, whether they're crippled mentally or physically, whether handicapped in one way or another. This is the miracle of the ministry. But some people that I know don't even want to shake hands with people that are beggars because they figure maybe they didn't wash up, or maybe they've got lice, or maybe they've got fleas. The Apostle Peter didn't care what this man had, if he had leprosy, hepatitis, AIDS, or anything, because he had the faith to believe that he's in the body of Christ and that there isn't anything that's going to happen to him anyway.
Any evil thing that would happen to him. Then what?
And even if he does have fleas, he sensed the Lord's direction that he was about to heal the man. So to Peter, this man was special. The leading of the Lord was after him, so he actually held his hand and helped him up. It didn't matter if he was totally infested with lice at all.
And if he didn't have money, if he was poor, a beggar, dirty. All right, then what?
There was a brother that called me from Los Angeles. I'm in Los Angeles right now, but he called me while I was in the downtown area. And he said, quote, there's a man here that has lice. What should we do? I told him, what do you mean, what should we do? I've been in the ministry 40 years, and I started out on the street and over in the Los Angeles mission, preaching to winos and people like that. And you could actually see them picking the fleas and whatever else on their chest.
Yeah, the lice. And they, you could see them popping the heads off of them, and taking them off their chest while we were preaching the gospel to them. And right after the services, Sue and I would stand there, and as they were going into the chow hall, we'd shake hands with every one of them. And they all smiled at us and were very happy. And some of them were under such conviction that they would turn away. They'd just look down, but they'd just say thank you. And they were very nice people. And it was so rewarding to see the many of them being saved. Then what?
Then at the end of each service, we would stand just before they go into the chow hall, and Sue and I would shake hands with every single one of them, and they would smile. They knew that we were of the Lord because we weren't looking down at them at all, because we knew that God had sent us in there and that God was concerned about these beggars and these winos. It didn't make any difference if they wanted to join our church and they wanted to serve the Lord. They're special people. It doesn't matter whether they have any special talent or not.
Well, even if they don't want to serve the Lord still sent us in there so that they could hear the gospel and be accountable at the judgment of our God. We certainly stress, you know, you must serve the Lord. If you want to be healed, if you want to have power, and if you want to go to heaven, stay out of hell. All right, then what?
This man was helpless, that Peter helped, and followed the instructions of the Lord, the Spirit of God. So you mustn't look down on anybody, because all the beggars on the street and everybody in the world is a prime candidate for salvation, because the Lord said so. The Lord said, quote, preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16, verse 15.
Right, these people that are in sports that are making so many millions of dollars are the hardest ones to get to because, and movie stars also, because people tell them they're so wonderful and so great that they actually begin believing that they themselves are God. And that they don't need Christ, but let them get hit with some kind of horrible disease or something, all of them are going to have to spend some time on a deathbed, and all of them are going to have to give up the spirit, their ghost. The Lord doesn't care whether they're a basketball player, a football player, a baseball player, a rap star, or anything, or how much money they made. That doesn't mean anything to the Lord at all. The only thing that matters to them and to the Lord is that, what did you do with my son? Where are the souls that you were supposed to bring up here with you? You're supposed to be bringing in the sheaves. The sheaves, the word sheaves, are symbolic of souls. Where are they? You come to me after I died on the cross in the world, and showed myself there and told you all the things that you're supposed to do, and I took a horrible beating so you could be saved, and you didn't do anything about it. You didn't bring one soul up here. Your life was worthless. You think that I would be impressed by your dirty, filthy, scummy rap songs, or your scummy basketball career, or your football, or whatever kind of career you got, or that you're a tap dancer or something? That isn't going to impress God at all. Where's the souls that I commissioned that I wanted you to win? Why is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ not on your soul? Why did you not accept my son that died and was slaughtered for you? Who do you think you are? Now depart from me, you wicked. Go into eternity, into the lake of fire, into the pit of hell, then the lake of fire. You've abused your right to even be alive. Then what?
But what if they have fleas or lice on them? You had better ignore that.
Yes, you know something, because judgment begins first at the house of God. And if you are looking down at people because they haven't shaved, or they have long hair, or they're bald, or you don't like the way they look or the way they smell, or that they're poor and they don't have, you can't prosper or benefit anything from them because they don't have any money. You're supposed to help them, give them some money, get them the gospel first. And don't give them any money if they're, but you can go buy them some food, and you can find out if they have children, and you can bring them some food, and you can bring them some Bible literature and the Bibles. You can bring them some clothing. You can bring them some food to eat. You can bring them medicine, or you can bring them vitamins and minerals, and a pair of shoes. You can show them Christ and then give them the literature, because bringing them all these things won't mean much to them at all, because they eat that and then it's the end of it. But the gospel will stick in them if they get saved. And then they won't be poor anymore, because the righteous... You will never see the seed of the righteous begging bread. And righteous people are those that are saved and serving the Lord. Then what?
You better be over and above that. You must be sitting with Christ in heavenly places, where you're far above that. You don't think such things as that, or you're thinking as the carnal people do. 3 verse 1. It was at this early point in the history of the church that the Jewish Christians were still praying in the temples at the ninth hour, which was about 3 in the afternoon. 3 verse 12 through 26. Most of the sermons in the book of Acts contain 4 major elements. 1. They would always proclaim that the age that the Messiah would come had finally come. 2. Quotations from the Old Testament to prove that Jesus definitely was the Messiah and is the Messiah. 3. A review of the life and ministry of Jesus, especially his resurrection. And 4. A call to repentance. Healing comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must quote the name of Jesus. The very name of Jesus means, quote, anointed Savior, unquote. So therefore, Peter is saying that it was the Messiah in all his fullness who did the actual healing. Furthermore, the miraculous power was not in Peter's faith, but it was by the faith which comes through him, the Lord Jesus Christ.
And it was the faith of the beggar, because he believed what Peter was saying, and he got saved. By your faith, you're saved and you're healed. Now, if you believe that the Lord didn't lie when he said, you're healed, then you are healed. And you'll never see the righteous begging bread, those that trust in the Lord. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like eagles. Amen?
Amen.
With the wings of eagles. They shall run, walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. And there's a song, help me, Lord. To what? To wait?
To wait.
To wait on the Lord and trust him that he will do everything that he says he will do and has done. Then what? And see, will do for you. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Then what?
See Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The man had the faith. 3, verse 21 through 24. Old Testament prophecy has a present spiritual fulfillment, the church, verse 24, and a future fulfillment in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Bible prophecy is both realized and unfulfilled. We realize some of the prophecies that have happened, and then we realize that there are some of them that have not been fulfilled yet.
Yeah, but most of them have been fulfilled, but there's just a handful of them that have not been fulfilled. Then what?
But they are soon to be fulfilled because we can tell by the signs of the times. The kingdom of God is both now and forever. So it's now and later. See Psalm 110, verse 1, whom heaven must receive. 3, verse 25. Peter reminds the Jewish leaders that the covenant that God made with Abraham, promises of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, shows that God never intended to limit his promise, his covenant, his blessing to the Jewish people alone. But it's through faith in the bloodline of Abraham's family, the believers.
All right, that was the commentary, chapter 3, book of Acts. And now we have part 5 of reigning, sitting in heavenly places, and reigning on earth here from the direction of the Holy Spirit from heaven. So we're sitting, we're there with Christ by in the Spirit and by faith, and we're reigning, saying to people here on earth, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we're bringing forth souls unto the Lord. And that's the thing that really pleases the Lord. And we're also showing great miracles, as you have just heard of in chapter 3, which kindles people's interest to come and see this, and then they want to hear, how did this happen? And then you preach the gospel to them, and hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of people get saved, because they know that there's no natural way that this can happen. It has to be supernatural in order for this healing to take place. It's God, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the healer of all, who come unto him. And the one that gives Sabbath to all those, Sabbath, that means peace and rest to all those that come unto him. Rest for your soul, but he puts it to work after you accept him. He says, take up the cross now and come on and follow me, and preach the gospel to every kindred, tongue, but learn the gospel first. Then what? Okay, so let's go with part 5 of reigning.
Experiencing reigning. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13, tells of a centurion who came to Jesus to ask him to heal his servant's sickness. His faith was based on his knowledge of power or position of order. He knew what his position was, and we know that because he said, quote, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, unquote. And what he told him was, quote, say the word, and my servant shall be healed, for I also am a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say unto this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.
But how was it that he got authority? It's because the one that has authority over him saw that he was doing a good job. And when a person, like for instance, when I was just a young boy, I got a job at Christmas time working at the May Company. And I was just really greeting people and helping them and finding out where everything was. And I'd lead them over to where the thing was that they were looking for. And I was cheerful to them and told them, you know, Merry Christmas and so on and so forth. And one day, after I'd been there for about a week, a man, an old gentleman, came up to me and said, son? I said, yes, sir. He said, would you like to work here forever as a real job, you know, instead of just a Christmas job? And, of course, I said no, because I just didn't want that kind of work. It was very stuffy inside that big department store in this area. There was hardly any air conditioning on. And he says, you are a very good worker, and he says, you are good personality, you know. You treat people like human beings. And he says, you're just an outstanding young man, and we could give you a good job and put you even on the first floor. You'd make a lot more money. They will give you a leadership position. I'm sure I would have been a manager over there, or maybe possibly even run the whole store later on, because that's just the way I naturally am, even before I was saved. And how much more, if I did that for the devil, how much more should we do those things like that, be good testimonies for the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
People notice. Then what else?
Since he himself was under authority, he could command those under him. Therefore, he believed that the Lord needed only to exercise his authority and give a word of command, and the matter would be done. He really knew the relationship between the position of order and authority. He knew that in order to reign, he had first to submit to the reigning. He had to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit in order to be the authority. He had first to submit to his authority. When God entered man at the beginning of time, God gave man authority to have dominion over all the creatures in the sea, in the air, and on the earth. At that time, man was submitting to God's authority. Therefore, God's authority was with him, and all creatures were made to submit to him, man. But the minute that man fell and rebelled against God, whether it was willing or unwilling, in this case unwilling, as he was to submit to God's authority, he then lost the authority that God had given him, the authority of God. So as a result, all the creatures under man were no longer under subjection to man's authority. Therefore, poisonous snakes can bite you, and they do bite people. Wild beasts can tear you to pieces, and are not afraid to do so. They do it every day. Even the tiny mosquitoes can give you malaria, and fleas are able to bite and aggravate you. This indicates that the entire fallen universe is full of creatures that are rebellious and insubordinate. They're in a position of insubordination. But in this rebellious and confused universe, whenever there is one who is still willing to accept God's authority will be manifested upon him or her, and he or she will be able to reign over everything. Moses was an example of that. He was the man who submitted to the authority of God and thereby reigned for God. Nearly every time he was confronted with the rebellion and quarreling of the body, the Israelites, he submitted himself to God's authority, especially at the time of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and those with them that rebelled and assembled themselves altogether against him. He behaved even more in this way. They attacked Moses and Aaron, saying, quote, "Ye take too much upon yourselves, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Jehovah is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the assembly of Jehovah," unquote. Numbers chapter 16, verse 3. Their word touched the matter of Moses. It touched the matter of Moses' authority. Their reasoning was to overthrow his authority. At that time, Moses didn't consider himself as the authority and seek to solve the problem himself. On the contrary, he fell upon his face before God and let God vindicate him. His falling upon his face before God was his keeping the position of order. He knew that authority rested not in him, but in God. His submission to God's authority caused others also to submit to him. Therefore, the result of his behaving each time in this way manifested even more clearly that God's authority was upon him.
Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message, because I certainly did. Amen.
Amen.
I love the Lord, and I love how he gives clear direction on how to conduct our lives here in this world, so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, you've heard the book of Acts, chapter 3, 26 verses, primarily the translation, and you've heard the commentary, and also part 5 of Reigning with Christ, and also you've heard the letters from some of the Lord's satisfied people, people. We're here to be concerned about people. Not the Lord never tells us to go out after animals. There's some people that are far more interested in animals than they are human beings. The Lord died for humans that they might be saved. So keep this in mind, you know, and don't look down upon humanity, because the Lord is the God that created them just like he did you and there. But for the power of God, you might be that person. But God has given you, and some of you are in as bad a shape as some of the ones that I've been mentioning on this tape, but you're going to be in great shape if you'll just come unto the Lord and let him do his thing for you. Because he doesn't want you to be in the condition you're in right now, and he died to ensure that you don't have to be, so don't turn it away. Don't turn such a great salvation away. Well, anyway, this is Tony Alamo, Pastor Tony Alamo, your Bible teacher, telling you until tomorrow, chapter 4 of Acts, and part 6 of Reigning with Christ Before Him. God bless you and praise the Lord.